And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Everybody, it is Tuesday, the 10th of July, 2018. Yeah, Trump left for Europe today. I'll talk about that next hour, I think. Brett Kavanaugh, the person that Trump nominated to be Supreme Court Justice, boy, I'll tell you. The more I check into, and anybody can do this. I mean, I just use the internet. The more it becomes apparent that all of the social justice advances that have been made in the past 35, 40 years are all up for destruction. With this guy going on the Supreme Court. This is no Kennedy. This is Brett Kavanaugh. And with the other four neo-fascists on the Supreme Court, the prospect of justice being served at that level is practically zero. What will be served will be a political point of view / religious point of view, justice can go screw itself. The Supreme Court justices, the right-wingers, are not there to provide balance or justice or fairness or decency. They're there to destroy every single social justice advancement that this country was fortunate enough to put together under leadership that was competent over the past three quarters of a century, even more. So there's so many aspects of the social safety net, social justice, equality of opportunity, equal protection under the law, all of which are at risk. Let me share something with you here about this comes from the Campaign for American Progress. It was a press release. Center for American Progress, I'm sorry. Brett Kavanaugh, after Trump announced his nomination, Brett Kavanaugh, Neera Tanden, who's president and CEO of the Center for American Progress, issued the following statement. And it came out as a press release. So, let me share it with you. Neera writes, "This nomination is key to President Trump's plan to strip health care protections from millions of people through the courts. After the American people stopped him in Congress, Trump needs a justice who will play along with his attempt to gut the Affordable Care Act through frivolous political lawsuits. And he's found the right person for this job. This nomination is also payback for the hardline anti-choice activists who have defended his disgusting misogyny no matter what. Grab him by the pussy! Trump chose Kavanaugh from a list of pre-approved guaranteed votes to gut and overturn Roe v. Wade. Even from that list, Kavanaugh is an offensive choice. He would bring all of Trump's worst qualities to the Supreme Court for decades to come. In a disturbing echo of Trump's policies toward immigrant families? Kavanaugh tried to force a detained immigrant woman to carry her pregnancy against her will using anti-choice activist code of abortion on demand in his official written opinion. Kavanaugh has proved himself to be a political operative when it comes to undermining the Affordable Care Act through frivolous cases and opinions. He has also written with shocking deference to presidential power and immunity, which raises the alarming but wholly legitimate question of whether this is one more effort by Trump to obstruct justice for himself and his associates. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was right. Kavanaugh's paper trail is a horror show and flatly disqualifies him. I didn't know the turtle said that. To ram through a Trump loyalist nominee and reshape the entire court this way would be an outrageous partisan power grab against all American, but especially all Americans, but especially women. Trump is trying to rig the system on an unprecedented scale, eliminating the last check on his abuses of power and casting his cloud of corruption over the entire court by appointing the deciding vote on his own criminal investigations. What Neera Tanden is saying, of course, is it's another warning. Yet another warning of where we're heading. I mean, when you think about it, it's like someone who is under investigation for criminal activity, which in this case borders on treason, Trump, but someone who's under investigation for criminal activity being able to appoint a judge who will oversee that person's trial. That's what Trump is doing. Trump is one of the slimiest evil fuckers ever, ever, ever in any aspect of American history, but especially where it concerns the presidency. Amazing. I'll get back to this thug a little bit later. I saw some aerial photographs that anybody could see, but I went to a section of New York Times online where there are photographs to a far greater degree than those that appear in the paper. And this was about the Lake Okeechobee algae bloom. Now, when I say Lake Okeechobee algae bloom, that's where it originated. It's all over the goddamn place now. Now, I have friends in Toledo, Ohio, who went through this when Lake Erie developed. Remember the algae bloom? For 5 days, 500,000 people could not touch the water that was available. Toledo, northwest Ohio, because Lake Erie happens to be the primary source of water for people in that section of Ohio. As a matter of fact, Cleveland all the way around to the border with Pennsylvania. But anyway, an unusually large algae bloom has filled Lake Okeechobee with a mixture that looks like, according to the aerial photographs and the captions, it looks like pea soup. You ever had pea soup? You like pea soup? That's what this looks like. Now, where has this come from? Well, it has built up because of rain, hot weather, and heavy concentration of phosphorus and nitrogen from fertilizer. That's according to Richard Stumpf, who's an oceanographer with NOAA. That's going to be one of Trump's next targets, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, because they're just fucking troublemakers. They don't follow the Bible. They follow science. And that's soon going to come to an end. Now, this algae bloom has covered about 90% of Lake Okeechobee. The surface area of Lake Okeechobee is 730 square miles. Officials said they've never seen anything like this before. And the whole issue is raising concerns about this, just like this kind of shit always does, about health risks of exposure and the impact on the economy. A lot of people go to Lake Okeechobee just to see it. As many times as I've lived in Florida, I regret them all, but as many times as I did, I never went to Lake Okeechobee. Driven around it, driven beside it, but never took the tour for whatever reason. The guy with NOAA said that if people come into contact with the algae, you better wash it off right away or your skin is going to become irritated and there's no telling what else might happen. Ever smelled an algae bloom? I have. It's not very pleasant. Now, the interesting part, this algae bloom in Lake Okeechobee has no effect on fish, but it can be fatal for, say, dogs that swim in Lake Okeechobee or drink this filth. And for humans, it's extremely toxic. If consumed, it can make you violently ill. And if your immune system is in a weakened condition, it'll probably kill you. Now, what's happening at Lake Okeechobee, which, by the way, is used mainly for commercial and sport fishing. What's happening there, scientists say, is one of several incidences like this that across the U.S. that scientists are monitoring. See, the reports just keep coming in and coming in and coming in about how we are befouling our nest to the point where we're not going to be able to live in it any longer. Oh, well. There is the perception that algae blooms are becoming more frequent and severe. So federal agencies, including NOAA and the U.S. Geological Survey, are now conducting research to determine if that really is the case. What do you want to bet it is? I just have a gut feeling, you know? The Finger Lakes in New York. Isn't that where we're going for the wedding? The Finger Lakes in New York and Utah Lake in Utah, both of which are used for recreational purposes, experienced an unusual number of these algae blooms in the past couple of years. And again, the algae bloom in Lake Erie 4 years ago left 500,000 people without drinking water. Okay, for 3 days. What did they say, five? An environmental team leader at the Cornell Cooperative Extension Office in Ithaca, New York, one Sharon Anderson, said there was significant concern about how harmful algae blooms in the Finger Lakes last year. One of them, Owasco Lake, was plagued by these blooms last year. They kept happening. And this year, these blooms have been spotted in Cayuga Lake. Residents and business owners, as you might expect, are worried how this might affect tourism and, the money that the tourists spend, which is taking a look at the problem, in my opinion, on a very limited scale. I mean, algae blooms, for the most part, don't just happen. They're caused. And the cause, most often, is human. Increasing global warming, flooding lakes and rivers and streams with chemical fertilizers that eventually wind up in these lakes. In a satellite image taken on June 12th, what was that, less than a month ago? June 12th, over at Lake Okeechobee. Only 1% of the lake was covered in algae. By July 2nd, 90% of the lake is covered in this stuff. What is that, 3 weeks? Now, some of Florida's lawmakers, probably Democrats, maybe a few Republicans, are worried about loss of tourism dollars, but they've asked this filthy Governor Rick Scott to declare a state of emergency in Lee County, which is where the Caloosahatchee River runs through. Now, Lake Okeechobee flows into the Caloosahatchee River, which is about a 70-mile-long river. And both Okeechobee and Caloosahatchee play prominent roles in Florida tourism. Not for much longer. John Cassani, it says here, who the head of the nonprofit Caloosa Waterkeeper. We have here in Atlanta the Chattahoochee Waterkeeper Organization. Chattahoochee is a river that flows through Atlanta, provides the city with a considerable amount of the water that we need. But anyway, this guy with the Caloosa Waterkeeper, who's worked on the river for about 40 years, said this particular algae bloom was, his word, historic. You notice how that word is being used more and more where it concerns hurricanes, mudslides, floods, tornadoes, forest fires, algae blooms, historic. What do you think that means? To me, what it means is that it hasn't happened before. Therefore, it becomes part of history, i.e., historic. So if this stuff has never happened before, what does it mean? When we have an historic algae bloom. Well, to me, what it means is something is seriously fucked up in the natural balance that should exist in the environment and did exist. Until we came along. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention here in Atlanta estimates that monitoring and managing these algae blooms, especially this one in Okeechobee, costs states millions of dollars every year. And Mr. Cassani, the guy with the waterkeepers, he said, quote, I've never seen anything like this, which is another way of saying it's historic. He says he's avoided spending too much time near the river because of the increased possibility of respiratory irritation. Like I said, you ever smelled this stuff? Another volunteer for the Caloosa Waterkeeper said he's avoided exposing his two daughters, who are 10 and 7, to the water. He pays a friend to take video by drone of the algae and post the footage on social media to alert his neighbors of the health risks. You can look this up on YouTube if you want to. The volunteer for Caloosa Waterkeeper said he's growing angrier over these expanding algae blooms and what it probably will mean for the future of Cape Coral, where he spent most of his life. He said, quote, I've watched the water quality devolve in my lifetime, and I don't want to stand here and watch it continue in my children's lifetime. Well, sir, with all due respect, because I share your concern, I share your hope or your wish or whatever it is, because the state of Florida is not going to do a goddamn thing about the Okeechobee water bloom or algae bloom, nothing. And on the slight chance that they do something, it will not be enough because you know the cost. So while I share your concerns and your fears, if I could use that word, although you didn't, sir, but if I can share, I do share your concerns and your fears, but you know what? I don't know how this can be turned around. What are you going to do in Florida? Florida is a big agricultural state and a cattle producing state. I think Florida is either number two or number three in producing beef. Some big ass cattle ranches in Florida. And all that cow shit gets into the water runoff right into Lake Okeechobee or someplace. Plus the chemical fertilizers that are used, the pesticides, the herbicides. That stuff all flows downhill, right? So to the concerned waterkeeper, my attitude, while it matches yours in terms of fear and concern, it's hard for me to see any of this being turned around. I know I keep saying that when I bring up these issues, and I know that some of my more optimistic listeners are probably thinking, Malloy, why the hell do you keep saying this negative shit? Quit thinking negatively. Really? Really? Well, the reason I don't see it as negative. I see it as realistic. If realism is negative or positive, that's more than just perception, especially when there's science involved. So I don't see myself as looking at this stuff in a negative way. A realistic way, yes, but not negative. Desi and Brad's newscast tonight mention the algae bloom? Yeah. We listened to a little bit of it this afternoon. So they might have more detail about this. Back to Kansas. A guy out there who is a Republican, actually a fascist. Remember, the Republican Party has devolved or metamorphosed or however you say it into the American Fascist Party. I won't use Nazi anymore. The American Fascist Party. So a candidate who is running as an American fascist in a race, in a Kansas race, that Democrats are targeting in November. I think they might be able to win this one. Anyway, this guy told an audience at a fascist party meeting this month that, quote, outside of Western civilization, there is only barbarism. End quote. I wonder how the Japanese feel about that. I wonder how the Chinese feel about that. I wonder how African countries, the ones who have been labeled shitholes, how they feel about that. Barbarism. Obviously, this dumb fuck, his name is Steve Fitzgerald. Obviously, he's never looked up the word barbarism. I'll bet if you asked him to define the word, he couldn't. He would use a tautology to define it. Anyway, this guy is seeking the Republican nomination in the race to replace a retiring representative, Lynn Jenkins, who also is a Republican. And these comments apparently came at a meeting of the Leavenworth County Republican Party back on July 2nd. So this guy gets up and gives a 30-minute speech, this Fitzgerald. And in that speech, he bemoaned and lamented, as in Lamentations, I guess, he lamented the fact that people believe, quote, Western civilization is the problem, end quote. No. You think Western civilization is the problem? I do. Depends on how you define Western civilization. If you mean mostly what this asshole means, yeah. We are a big problem in the world. We really are. We're the ones that came up with the Industrial Revolution, which started the destruction of our nest. The guy, Fitzgerald, also argued that Christendom, you know, Christians are, quote, under attack, end quote. There we go again. There we go again. This dumb son of a bitch, Christianity, the dominant religion on this planet, the religion that, what, 80% of the Congress of the United States, representatives and senators subscribe to, one form or another. Every single member of Trump's cabinet, I don't think there's a Jew in there, is there? Oh, there might be one or two. They're all Christians. Trump's not a Christian. Trump is an aberration. Trump is a punk. But he likes to jerk off the Christians, and they like to jerk him off right back. It's a mutual jerk-off society, and it's working for the Christians very well. Very well indeed. But anyway, back to Fitzgerald. He says, quote, our Judeo-Christian ethic is what is civilization. Why did they leave out Islam? Islam is part of the same so-called ethic that Judaism and Christianity is. They're all Abrahamic religions. And as far as the historical importance of Islam or the Muslims, had it not been for the Arabs and their investigation into math, fucking Europeans would still be counting on their fingers and toes. But we're not supposed to talk about Islam, because while they believe in the existence of Jesus Christ and that he was a very important avatar, they don't see him as, you know, the son of this God that all three religions share. But I digress. Christendom is under attack. And even speaking about it can bring you under attack, he says. It has brought me under attack. Maybe that's because, you dumb son of a bitch, you are standing there saying things that are absolutely not true. Where is Christendom under attack? It is not. I'll tell you what's under attack, you punk ass. The bullshit that you people have incorporated into Christianity, the stuff that has not a goddamn thing to do with your Jesus, nothing to do with his message or his sermons. He only gave three, you know, or four. That's what's under attack. It's you people who define yourself or describe yourselves as Christians. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not Christians. You're evil sons of bitches who have pulled the mantle of Christianity around your shoulders so you can do your evil shit and pretend like you're just being a good Christian, while at the same time claiming that Christendom is under attack. By whom, asshole? By whom? Even Trump's good buddy Putin is a Christian. Maybe not a real Christian. You know, Russian Orthodox. I don't know if the Baptists consider Russian Orthodox to be real Christians, but that's what Putin is. Anyway, this freak in Kansas went on earlier this year after someone donated to Planned Parenthood in Fitzgerald's name, which I think is kind of funny. He told the group, the Leavenworth County Republican Party, he told them that he didn't make the donation. He didn't agree with it. And he compared the people who made the donation to Dachau, the Nazi concentration camp that killed tens of thousands of people during the Holocaust. Fitzgerald wrote this, that the donation in his name to Planned Parenthood was, quote, "This is as bad or worse as having one's name associated with Dachau." Can you fucking believe that? Can you fucking believe that? Yeah, so can I. Anyway, Fitzgerald went ahead and retold that story. I guess he liked the word Dachau or some shit, but he retold the story a couple of times. Despite the fact that both the Kansas Republican Party and the Rabbinical Association, those are Jews, of Greater Kansas City have asked him to stop. What? The Kansas Republican Party? Now, I can understand the Jews saying stop. Because I will guarantee you that American Jews are much more interested in social justice than American Christians. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. We could expand on that, but what the fuck? Well, it is Wednesday night. No, it isn't. This is Tuesday night. Never mind. Anyway, both the Kansas Republican Party and the Greater Kansas City Rabbinical Association have asked this moron to stop with the comparisons of Planned Parenthood to a fucking Nazi extermination camp. He won't. Here's what he said. Quote, "So Planned Parenthood is busy waging war against the next generation and winning." End quote. His next line is obviously going to be, "The only way to stop them is to elect me." And he noted that all the pushback on his filthy comments came after his letter to Planned Parenthood was made public. See, he wrote this to Planned Parenthood in addition to making an ass of himself in public. Well, maybe not an ass of himself to these hardcore nut fucks who comprise the American Fascist Party now, but to rational people, yeah, he made an ass of himself. Here's what he said, quote, "It was a firestorm. I got calls from everywhere. How dare you? How could you? How could you compare it to Dachau?" I said, "You're right. Dachau really wasn't one of the bigger killing camps, and these guys' numbers are way beyond anything that they did." End quote. And the issue at hand is a woman's right to privacy and control over her own reproductive system, which the Christians and a lot of Jews and a lot of Muslims say, "Oh, no, 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 fuck no, uh-uh. We control you. We males control you. And we make the laws. You don't make shit. We make the laws. Somehow this one snuck through, where y'all can ram shit up your vaginas and abort your precious little babies." Anyway, after he made those comments that Dachau wasn't really one of the bigger killing camps and that the numbers at Planned Parenthood are much bigger, he went on to say that history is littered with people taking advantage of and dispatching the lives of others. He cited slavery and the treatment of American Indians. He said this, quote, "Ask the blacks about slavery." Well, you fucking asshole, why don't you ask the whites? Ask the blacks about slavery. Ask the American Indians. Ask, well, of course, the Indians were doing it to each other. But if you go all the way back in history, we never had much compunction about killing each other, especially if you couldn't fight back. The fuck is he talking about? And then is when he made his statement, outside of Western civilization is only barbarism. Abortion is not compatible with Western civilization. And we need to make that clear. We need to make it recognized. We need to make people understand we are talking about humanity. No, you're not, you fucking liar. You're talking about control. You're not talking about humanity at all. You're talking about religious mind control. Stupid shit. Well, oh, and during his speeches, Fitzgerald also provided his views on our dear leader, this ignorant savage, Donald Trump. Though he commended Trump's actions in office, Fitzgerald admitted that he, quote, didn't like the guy at all at first. I didn't like him very well at all, but boy, I love him now. I'm not certain I would necessarily want to have a beer with him. But I want him to keep going. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy. Amen to that, right? Let's take a break, Kathy, if you would please. I'll be back momentarily. Stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep.
Population keeps on bleeding. Nation bleeding, still more.
Frieda Gittes, you know who she is? She's a writer. And she wrote something the other day that started out, "Heads up, women, there's something Donald Trump wants you to know." Yeah, I guess you heard. Maybe you didn't, but the former Fox News chief, Bill Shine, who was a great boost to the people at that filthy organization, the men, who were raping and brutally sexually abusing women, like that goddamn O'Reilly. And who was the other one, the big fat fucker that died? Who was that at Fox? Roger Ailes. Yeah, he did die, didn't he? Yeah, I thought so. But Bill Shine was one of the people who engineered the cover-ups and the payoffs. They were just bitches. What difference does it make? Just bitches. Well, now Trump has named him White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications. Is there anybody in any part of the Trump organization that's governing this country, is there one goddamn person, male or female, who has a speck of fucking decency in them? You know what the answer is? That's an easy one. Hell no. Well, remember during the campaign, I know the best people. We're going to have the best people. I'm going to have child molesters and rapists and people that beat their wives and murderers and liars and cheats and the best people. Well, they were to me. I was a real estate mogul, you know. On the same day, Trump mocked the hashtag MeToo movement. Remember, Senator Elizabeth Warren still calls her Pocahontas. Representative Maxine Waters. So Trump was sending a very explicit, yes, it's disgusting, but it's Trump, very explicit message about where Trump stands on harassment, assault, and mistreatment of women. I mean, what do you think his stance is on those issues? Yeah. As Frieda writes, this would have been a perfect moment to bring out Melania Trump's infamous jacket, the one that said, "I really don't care." Does Melania understand English? Can she read English? I don't know. But she wears that fucking jacket when she goes to a detention center for children who have been ripped away from their parents, are being held in cages. And she wears a fucking jacket that says, "I really don't care." Jesus. Frieda writes this, "In this era of hashtag MeToo, at a time when hundreds of prominent figures have been either accused, indicted, or sentenced for sexual harassment or abuse, Trump has selected the man who was one of the top executives at Fox when multiple women alleged the network operated as a nest of sexual harassment, denigration, and abuse of women. Shine has denied any wrongdoing. I know nothing. I know nothing." Who was that, Sergeant Schultz in what was the Hogan series? "I know nothing." Ooh. Now, Shine himself so far hasn't been accused of assaulting women or harassing women or expecting sexual favors for, I don't know, bigger paycheck or whatever. But, he was such a pivotal player at Fox during the systemic problem at that filthy sewer that it's impossible not to view him as an integral part of it. He knew what was going on. Hey, just boys being boys. Fuck the bitches, you know. We give them exposure on the greatest cable network in the history of the human race. So they have to put out a little bit. So what? There's a problem with that? These are women. Oh. Frieda Wright says the avalanche of scandals at Fox forced out Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. Staffers at Fox said the abuses were common knowledge. Sean Hannity knew about it too. I'm waiting for Sean Hannity to finally get his comeuppance for the shit that he has promoted from the Fox sewer. It's coming. It's coming. Now, both Roger Ailes, who's dead, and Bill O'Reilly, who soon will be, even though Fox paid out millions of dollars to settle sexual harassment claims against these two bastards, until he died, Roger Ailes continued to deny it, and Bill O'Reilly, that filthy piece of shit, still denies it. What'd he pay one woman, $20 million? Holy fuck. So anyway, one of Ailes' accusers, one of the women who finally had enough, said that Bill Shine booked the travel in which she had meetings with Roger Ailes. And an on-air contributor said that Shine punished her for not supporting Ailes when former Fox lady Gretchen Carlson filed the lawsuit that pulled back the curtain on all this shit. In fact, Shine became so befouled with everything that was going on, he was forced to resign from the network. He was too toxic to work at Fox? Oh, my God. However, it's obvious he was too toxic to work at Fox, but the bar at the White House is a lot lower. So, welcome aboard, Shine. Ah, he'll fit right in with Trump, won't he? Yeah, he will. And then Frieda gets a little graphic here in describing some of the accusations by women against Trump. She writes, after all, Trump is the most prominent of the hundreds of famous men placed in the bright spotlight of the hashtag MeToo movement. Trump was accused by Jessica Leeds of sliding his hand up her dress like an octopus when he was sitting next to her on a plane. People magazine writer Natasha Stoyanov said Trump attacked her at Mar-a-Lago, forcing his tongue down her throat. Oh, my God. Summer Zervos, a former Apprentice show contestant, is suing Trump for defamation after she accused him of sexual assault. And not only did he deny it, but in characteristic fashion of this piece of shit president, he went on to try to denigrate her and embarrass her. The list of women accusing Trump of what would have put anybody else in a fucking jail cell. The list just goes on and on and on. That's why the Christians love him. Huh? That's why the fundamentalists will do any fucking thing that Trump asks them to do. They'll vote for him. They'll tell everybody he's just a misunderstood guy, you know, locker room talk. He's one of the boys. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, choke, choke. You Christians. You can do anything to women when you're famous. You can grab them by the pussy. Hey, Christian evangelicals, now vote for me. Vote for me. And all those Christian evangelical women are going, yes, I'll vote for you. Oh, my God. I wish somebody. What? You wish somebody what? Jesus Christ. Frieda writes, no one can dispute Shine's qualifications. The White House statement announcing his appointment refers to, quote, over two decades of television programming. Oh, well, that's important. But Shine also brings unmatched experience working with and protecting sexual predators. But there's more. Frieda writes something here that I think is very revealing. She writes, Trump knew that hiring Shine would cause people to write articles exactly like the one I'm writing, and he did it anyway. Much like the president's decision to meet with Vladimir Putin and to sit with him alone with no witnesses, at the same time that Trump is in the middle of the special counsel's investigation into Russian efforts to help him win the election. But just like that, the Shine move displays unalloyed arrogance and defiance. It's a middle finger raised by Trump at his critics. It's the attitude that delights his supporters and repulses his detractors. his supporters, delights his supporters, the Christian evangelicals. Are you fucking people crazy? How did you become so filthy? Where just by your support of this monster, you piss all over your own Savior every goddamn day. Boy, you people are a mess. You Christian fundies, you evangelicals, you 82% of you who supported Trump, fucking shame on you. Oh, you people don't know shame. You don't know shame. You would know shame if it leaped out of a bush, a burning bush, and bit you on your ass. Last Thursday, before a cheering crowd in Montana, yeah, they love him, he started jabbing at Elizabeth Warren again for claiming to have Native American ancestry. He said that he would send her a test kit to check her DNA. Here's what he said, quote, "We will take that little kit and say, but we have to do it gently. It's a Me Too generation, so we have to be very gentle. And we would gently take the kit and slowly toss it, hoping it didn't hit her and injure her arm, even though it weighs only 2 ounces. Racist, misogynistic, punk, slob, filthy, dirty little man that the Christians love, not because there's anything redeemable about this asshole, but because Trump is giving these Christian fucks exactly what they've been wanting. They finally figured out, don't support someone who spouts religion all the time, like Mr. Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas. Don't support, who's the guy that liked to hold the dead corpses? Rick Santorum, who had a thing about dead babies. Don't support those good Christians. Support someone like Trump, because Trump is an empty-headed, sick fucker. Very easy to manipulate. All right, going to take a break. I'll be back in a few minutes with lots more fun and frivolity. You know, I was thinking, well, not that I was thinking. I mean, this is a common theme on this podcast, but it should be apparent to you, to everybody in this country, everybody around the world, it's apparent to me, that the leader of this country is a fascist. That's the reason Trump does not like democratic governments. That's why he sucks up to fascistic governments, whether it's in the Philippines or North Korea or Russia or China. It doesn't make any difference. Trump is a fascist, in addition to being a racist, and that should be completely apparent by now. For example, he took off this morning on his Innocence Abroad tour, where this dumb fuck is going to be conducting all kinds of meetings. The most important one to Americans, I think, is the meeting with the NATO countries. To Trump, the most important meeting is with his fascist buddy, Putin. Jesus Christ, I can't believe this is happening. Anyway, when he boarded his helicopter to head out and get on his jet today, he had more shitty words for the military alliance that he has been using as a punching bag throughout the campaign and his presidency. I mean, this guy is... oh, well. Here's a quote. This morning, as he headed to Brussels, he said this, quote, "It's certainly going to be an interesting time with NATO. NATO has not treated us fairly, but I think we'll work something out. We pay far too much and they pay far too little, but we will work it out and all countries will be happy." You know, Trump's big bitch is that NATO countries have not been paying their fair share of the costs to support this alliance, NATO alliance. Now, you can make the case, or at least I thought the case could be made during the Bush years and the Clinton years, that NATO was such an anachronism that all it really was doing was raising tensions. The U.S. broke all sorts of promises that were made to Gorbachev when the Soviet Union broke up, promises that included we would not seek to absorb into NATO any of the so-called Warsaw Bloc or Warsaw Pact nations that had functioned as the Soviet Union's kind of NATO. We broke that promise very quickly. Another promise was that we would not put anything concerning military close to Russia's borders. That promise has been broken. Those promises were made because at the time it was felt during the Reagan and Herbert Walker Bush years, it was felt that NATO was still a necessary organization or alliance to offset potential aggression from the Soviet Union, which no longer exists, of course. But rather than, I don't know if it's possible anymore, rather than work out some sort of mutually respectful agreement to take NATO apart, if that's what the NATO nation ministers want. You know, Trump is not the dictator of Europe. He is the dictator of the United States, but he's not the dictator of Europe. So it seems to me it would be relatively simple. I'm not saying easy, but simple and very respectful to sit down with the NATO nations and instead of screaming and farting and wheezing and puking all over the table that they weren't paying their share, that's not fair. What the fuck is that? That sounds like some goddamn five-year-old on the playground. Well, that's Trump. So, an end to the NATO alliance probably makes sense on some level of geopolitics, but not like this. And not given this president of the United States. Now, can you imagine if Bill Clinton or Barack Obama had said the things about NATO that this fuck has said about NATO? Can you imagine the screaming and the cries of treason and traitor and what's he doing, right? But not with Trump. And that is further proof that you don't live in the country that you thought you lived in 3 years ago. It's gone. No. It's gone. It's fucking gone. Now, can we get it back? Kind of iffy. Because these fascist religious pigs are moving heaven and earth, you'll pardon the expression, to solidify what they consider to be their lockdown on the U.S. political system. And by Christ, they just about have it. So can we get back to anything that resembles the normal operation of a democratic republic? At this point, right now, this moment, I say no. We're fucked. Short of bloody revolution, you know. Now, what do I know? What do I know? So I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is a way to get back to the ideas of the United States when it was put together. And then try to fulfill those ideas, the shit written in our documents, our founding documents, you know, that we never lived up to. Now, you know, it, not that anybody needs any proof, about Trump's fascism. I'm not talking about his core, brain-dead, worm-eating supporters. They are super fucked. They couldn't find their ass with both hands and a roadmap. Trump is God. He might even be the Messiah. So forget them. Forget them. But as Trump set about his shitty little business of attacking the NATO countries, and keep in mind, we have more to do with the NATO countries than just a military slash political alliance. We have cultural agreements. We have trade agreements. We have, well, we used to have agreements where it concerned this horror facing the planet of global warming. So there's more to the breakup of NATO than just ending a military alliance. Now, one thing also that should be kept in mind, and I'm sure you keep it in mind, the brain-dead fucks that follow Trump don't have a clue, but the breakup of NATO has been a prime directive, not objective, directive of Vladimir Putin since he was in the KGB. And he finally found a willing partner, not in Germany, not in Italy, not in France, not in the UK, right in fucking United States of America. Huh? How about that? How about that? Putin's partner in crime in the destruction of NATO and practically every single alliance that the United States is involved in is Donald J. Trump. The J stands for jerk off. Donald Trump is Putin's butt buddy. And together, the two of them are going to fulfill Putin's dream for the past 30 years. Dismember NATO. Now, Trump, while he's attacking the NATO nations, he also downplayed Russia's role as an aggressor. To Trump, Russia did not invade Crimea. Russia did not commit wholesale slaughter in Chechnya. Russia did not provide military assistance in the attempt to overthrow the government of Ukraine. None of that shit happened in Trump's mind. Trump couldn't find Ukraine, Crimea, or Chechnya on a map if somebody held a fucking spaghetti noodle to his head. So he calls Russia a competitor. A competitor. Unfucking real. Now, do I sound like an old hardline cold warrior? No, I don't. Because like I said, if it were anyone other than Trump, I would be interested in realignment and in certain aspects, disengagement from some. I've bitched and complained before about the 40-some thousand troops we have in Germany. Germany, for fuck's sake. That war ended 70 years ago. South Korea. South Korea, for fuck's sake. That ended 65 years ago. The Philippines. Japan. Every country that we have humiliated, we have garrisoned troops. The UK. Italy? I think so. And now we have troops in various African nations. So, do I advocate dismembering those military alliances? Yeah! Absolutely. But not with a fascist as head of state in this country. That would be Trump. So, Trump also said before he got on his broomstick and flew away today that his meeting with Putin in Helsinki, which is rather symbolic, Finland, isn't that where Lenin came from? When the Russian Revolution occurred, Finland Station or some, I think I remember reading about that. How about you? So they're going to meet in Helsinki. And he said that that meeting with Putin would be the easiest of the meetings while he's abroad. Not with NATO, not with the UK. Oh, and by the way, he's going to go to the UK and meet the Queen. Guess what's going to be waiting for him? That is going to be interesting. So the easiest of the meetings would not be with Angela Merkel or Macron or what's her name in the UK? May. Theresa May. His easiest meeting is going to be with Putin. Now, what he's leaving out, there's a whole raft of fascists who have recently come to power in Europe. Italy, Austria, Hungary, Austria again. Eh? I think one of the Scandinavian countries. So there's all sorts of fascists that Trump could be meeting with. But he likes Putin. And he likes Putin because, you know, Putin walks around without his shirt on, which Trump could never do because he's a bloated fuck. But Putin, he has muscles. Yes, he does. Oh, I ride the horse. Can you see Trump on a horse? No, don't. Trump said, quote, I think that getting along with Russia, getting along with China, getting along with others is a good thing. Not a bad thing. How about getting along with our historic allies, you silly shit? Is that a bad thing? He went on, quote, I've said that many times for many years, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Remember when your mother used to say that and you just wanted to fucking scream and run out the door? We'll see. We're meeting with Vladimir Putin on Monday. We'll see how that goes. We know how it's going to go, you stupid, bloated bastard. You're going to get with Putin, and you will give him a virtual blowjob from the moment you meet him. You're going to do for him what Monica did for Bill Clinton. And, of course, Clinton got impeached for it. But you overweight, fat, ugly fuck, you're not going to be impeached for turning the country over to another fascist leader? No, you're not going to be impeached at all. Or for getting on your knee pads in front of Putin and unzipping his fly. Why should you be impeached? It's a witch hunt. We'll see how that goes, he says. Yeah. Now, you have to keep in mind that Trump's willingness to get so intensely involved with Putin and his willingness to attack our historic allies and not Russia. It was fucking Russia that invaded our country via cyberspace and made sure that Trump got elected. It was Russia. Now, which may answer the question, why is he so buddy fuck with Putin? Because he owes him. Forget about videotapes that shows Trump applauding while Russian prostitutes urinate on the bed that the Obamas slept in. Forget all that. Trump owes Putin because Putin made sure that Trump would be president. Do you doubt that? If you do, get the fuck off my podcast. No, seriously. Now, the other NATO nations, in addition to the United States, are, according to all reports from legitimate news sources, these other nations are kind of freaked out about what this orange bastard is doing. He's treating our allies like shit while he gets on his knees in front of Trump or in front of Putin and tries to unzip his pants. Is that too harsh a way to put it? I don't think so. Jesus Christ. Former Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, Republican of Texas, who is our current ambassador to NATO, told reporters on a conference call last week that Trump is committed to, quote, NATO's strength and unity, end quote. Horseshit. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, shame on you. You know fucking well that that's not what Trump is committed to. You know that. But while Kay Bailey Hutchinson is spewing that bullshit, even the Heritage Foundation, this nest of fascist vermin that have been fucking with the country for the past 40 years, the Heritage Foundation, even they appear worried about how Trump is going to behave himself at the NATO meeting. And in that private little tete-a-tete with Putin. On July 5th, the Heritage Foundation tweeted this, quote, things to remember before Donald Trump travels to Europe. Russia is the aggressor. Ukraine is the victim. Crimea belongs to Ukraine. NATO and U.S. troops in Europe serve our national interests. Europeans must spend more on defense. Putin's track record shows he can't be trusted, end quote, the Heritage Foundation. Now, of course, in my opinion, that was just the Heritage Foundation's way of covering its ass when we finally, 15, 20 years from now, and I, damn it, probably won't be around for it, but 15 or 20 years from now, when the war crimes trials begin in Baltimore or New York, and all these right-wing fuckers are put in the dock, just like we did to the Nazis in Nuremberg. Only these will be Americans. And we will listen to the litany of treasonous acts that these sons of bitches committed. And the Heritage Foundation is trying to cover its ass so that when that day comes, they'll say, wait. We said support NATO. We're not the bad guys here. Right. Now, after the NATO meeting in Belgium, Trump will make his what's referred to as his long-awaited visit to the UK. He's going to meet with Queen Elizabeth II and Prime Minister Theresa May. Afterwards, he'll spend the weekend at his Gold Club in Scotland, Trump Turnberry. And after that, Trump is on his way to the Finland station to meet Vladimir. Fuck. Oh, my goodness. So, with Trump out of the country for the next several days, it should be interesting as we get the reports coming back from the fake news business about how this son of a bitch is further cheapening the image and the reality of the United States. And he's going to keep doing that until he is legally and peacefully fucking removed from office. But legally and peacefully. Right? Meanwhile, while all this is going on, this is how Trump is obstructing justice. He is inserting himself between the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and all these criminal rat fuckers that worked for Trump. Some of them continue to do so. For example, Mike Flynn. Flynn knows that no matter what happens, he's going to be pardoned. Because I guarantee you something, Flynn is a good soldier. Remember, he was a fucking general, right? So he's not going to rat out the commander-in-chief. He might give Mueller some little bullshit bits and pieces. But he knows, Flynn knows, at the worst that we know of so far. Now, this may be a lot worse than we know, because Mueller doesn't talk. He's not an exhibitionist prick fuck like Ken Starr was. So we don't know what Mueller knows, what Mueller has. But as it appears right now, the worst Flynn could get would be 6 months in jail. And if Trump pardons him, Trump's base will just be ecstatically happy. So in light of that, Flynn knows he's home free. Flynn has joined a consulting firm as he awaits sentencing after his plea guilty to lying to the FBI. Now, I remember what Martha Stewart got for lying to the FBI. I think she got a year, was out in 9 months or something, right? No, it wasn't insider trading. It was lying to the FBI. There was a statement issued today by this company, Stonington Global LLC. Stonington Global LLC. And their announcement said that this traitorous fuck was joining this group as Director of Global Strategy. Oh, my God. Director of Global Strategy. Now, the Wall Street Journal was the first to report this. Not some shitty communist operation like, oh, I don't know, CNN. No, a New York Times. No, it was Wall Street Journal. A Murdoch property. Lobbyist Nick Muzin and partner Joey Allaham. Nick Muzin and Joey Allaham. They told the Wall Street Journal they didn't know Flynn, but that Joey Allaham had approached Flynn, about the role of Director of Global Strategy because of Michael Flynn's experience. In what? Lying? The pair also told the Wall Street Journal that Flynn's son, this little prick, Michael Flynn Jr., the one who makes shit up and then delivers it to, what's his name, Alex Jones and Breitbart. You know, Michael Flynn Jr. is a fucking liar of the worst order. He makes up shit about children being sold into slavery by Hillary Clinton in the back of a pizza shop. I mean, that's insanity. But Michael Flynn Jr., he's going to join the Stonington Global LLC firm, just like Daddy. These two fucks are going to go to work for this company. And that Flynn Sr. would need to step away temporarily if he goes to jail. But it won't be for long. Let me quote from CNN. Stonington's statement included remarks from Flynn, the old man, which said in part, quote, "I will work every day to put my over 33 years of experience in the defense, intelligence, and national security communities, as well as serving presidents of both parties in the White House, to good use in helping companies and governments enhance the goals of freedom and liberty." Oh, my fucking word. He's going to put his experience together to help companies enhance the goals of freedom and liberty. Holy shit. Flynn had appeared at a hearing in Washington federal court earlier today where his lawyer said that Mr. Flynn was, quote, "eager to proceed to sentencing," end quote. Why the fuck not? It doesn't matter what the sentence is. Trump will pardon him. This is insanity, isn't it? Oh, quit saying that, Malloy. Jesus Christ. Anyway, what else? Officials told CNN ahead of Trump's inauguration that the Trump transition team had requested a security clearance for Flynn's son, which I'm sure he got. And it was Flynn's son who developed this nasty, shitty Twitter presence and spread bullshit online, including Pizzagate, Hillary Clinton, and John Podesta, and Jesus Christ, and Muhammad Ali were all running a child sex slave ring out of a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. And to show you the borderline fucking nutsiness of Trump support, remember the guy showed up there with an AR-15? And he said, "Well, I'm just here to look around, see if I can find any of these little children." I think the fucker wanted to buy a couple. He pretended like he was there to rescue them until the police came and said, "Get the fuck out of here." Jesus. And one of these guys that these two father and son criminals are going to work for, Nick Muzin. Until recently, he was a registered lobbyist for Qatar. Elliot Broidy, we haven't heard the last of him, a top Trump fundraiser who came under fire when his private emails were exposed detailing his business ties in the United Arab Emirates and elsewhere were hacked. Anyway, Elliot Broidy. Here's the "no honor among thieves" line. Elliot Broidy has accused Mr. Muzin and Stonington Global of being involved in the hack, helping Qatari officials. Muzin has repeatedly denied these accusations and said his knowledge of the breach came from his interactions with journalists seeking comments on the story about Broidy's email. So Broidy is blaming these two fuckers for hacking into his computer, into Broidy's computer, and releasing these embarrassing emails and possibly emails that possibly contain evidence of criminal activity. So Broidy sued Muzin, along with Qatari officials and several former Western intelligence officials. Mr. Muzin, who's going to bring Michael Flynn and his fucked up son into the organization. It's got to be a quid pro quo on that one with Trump, right? Muzin is trying to get the case against him dismissed with prejudice, which, as you know, means case dismissed. And no matter what evidence is subsequently turned up, it cannot be reopened. All right, Kathy. I'd like a break, please. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a classic example, a fucking classic example of Nazi-style fascism loose right here in the country. You hear me talk about it a lot. Stick around.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today.
A working example of fascism here in the United States now. A Latino civil rights group has filed a lawsuit in federal court. It's the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. The suit says that two locations in Phoenix, Arizona, two locations of Motel 6, gave details of guests' whereabouts and handed other personal information over to federal immigration agents before the guests got arrested. Only Latino guests. So if your name is Rodriguez and you register at Motel 6, what's the first thing they do after they hand you your key card and say, have a nice day? They call Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Trump's brown shirts. The lawsuit also says that Motel 6 has a practice of giving check-in information of their guests to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement without a warrant, no reasonable suspicion that criminal activity is going on. They just turn over the information to ICE. Worried yet? Well, with all due respect, Truth Seeker, if you're not worried, you're fucking brain dead. You realize what's going on? I've been saying that over and over and over. Doesn't mean shit. I know that. Motel 6 has agreed to settle the lawsuit, but a federal judge says, wait. I'm going to take a long, hard look at the settlement agreement. Court documents describe one account of what allegedly took place at a Motel 6 in Phoenix. Here's the story. Last June, a woman and her four kids checked in at the Black Canyon Motel 6 to get out of the heat because their apartment didn't have air conditioning, according to the lawsuit. When she registered, she showed a hotel employee her Mexican counselor ID card. The worker photocopied it. Early the next morning, three ICE agents were banging on the woman's hotel room door. They called themselves police. We're the police. Open up. When the woman opened the door, the agents interrogated her in front of her kids. They asked her to confirm her identity and threatened to take her children from her if she didn't cooperate. Before they left, the fucking Gestapo gave the woman a letter telling her to go to an ICE office. When she got there, she was fingerprinted and interrogated again by an ICE Gestapo agent. The woman asked the agent if a Motel 6 employee had given them her information. The Gestapo agent laughed and said her name just happened to pop up in the system. And then they arrested her without a warrant. Now, the documents pertinent to this lawsuit list several similar stories that claim the motel violated the rights of its Latino customers. Of eight Latino guests who stayed at the Phoenix area motel, seven were arrested. The lawsuit says, quote, at all relevant times, Motel 6 directed and supervised its employees' conduct pursuant to its policy and or practice of disclosing guest registration information to the Department of Homeland Security and Immigration Enforcement Agents. Now, since the lawsuit was filed, Motel 6 has said, we'll stop. We'll stop. We won't do it ever again. Honest to God, we won't stop. Sorry. Mistake. The company said in a statement that it was reviewing practices to, quote, help ensure that our broader engagement with law enforcement is done in a manner that is respectful of our guests' rights. Protecting the privacy and security of our guests are core values of our company, end quote. The allegations out of Arizona aren't the only ones of this kind against Motel 6. Motel 6 has 1,400 locations across the U.S. and Canada. The state of Washington sued Motel 6 in January, claiming ICE officials were going to Motel 6 locations in the state and asking for the list of guests with no warrant. Just give them to us. Like the Gestapo. You wonder why I call them Gestapo? Are you fucking kidding me? So Motel 6, being the good little fascist company that it is, they gave ICE information like guest names, birth dates, license plate numbers, driver's license numbers. ICE would then use the list to try to find undocumented immigrants. More than 9,000 guests who stayed at the chain within Washington state had their privacy rights violated, the suit says. Now, Motel 6 says last fall that all its locations were sent a directive, quote, making it clear that our employees are prohibited from voluntarily providing daily guest lists to ICE. Motel 6 takes this matter very seriously, and we have and will continue to fully cooperate with the Office of the State Attorney General in Washington, end quote. Can you fucking believe that? If Motel 6 would have existed in Germany back in the day, anyone with the first name of Isaac or Abraham or Jacob or Jesus, obviously were Jews, and obviously would turn that over to the German Gestapo. We have our Gestapo. The Nazis had theirs. Do you understand what is fucking happening in this country? And then this little bit from CNN that written by Robert Sapolsky. That's a Russian name because it ends in a Y. And Robert writes, the other day, our president expressed a remarkable opinion. He said, Democrats want illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour into and infest our country. Infest. Like bedbugs, fleas, infest. Sapolsky, right, that's an interesting word, and there are at least two groups of people who are particularly well-positioned to appreciate that word. The first group is comprised of neuroscientists who study a part of the brain called the insula. In most mammals, the insula does something mundane but important. This, if an animal bites into or smells a piece of food that is spoiled, the insula rapidly activates, triggering reflexes such as spitting the food out, curling the upper lip against the nose, and maybe even vomiting. Now, that's very useful of the human brain to do that, especially this part, the insula, in terms of preventing one from eating poison or toxins, or both. Things work the same in humans because, you know, we're a mammal too. For example, stick a volunteer in a brain imager. Volunteer, brain imager. Give them something fetid to bite into or smell, and the insula immediately activates. And as a measure of our cognitive sophistication, we humans can even activate the insula when thinking about eating something repulsive. Okay? But now let's study something more interesting, it says here, than rancid food. Show someone a picture of a lynching or bodies piled high in a concentration camp or Klansmen, Trump's part of Trump's core, marching. Make someone reflect on something awful that they once did. There's a good chance that the insula will activate then as well. So here's the reason. At some time, tens of thousands of years ago, humans evolved the notion that norms of right and wrong behaviors could be systematized into moral systems. And in the process, evolution tinkered and improvised, expanding the portfolio of the ancient insula such that in humans, it not only mediates gustatory and olfactory disgust, but moral disgust as well. Damn. So the insula is making a moral judgment, or some other part of the brain makes the moral judgment and the insula reacts. That's pretty cool. That's why something sufficiently morally disturbing can make us sick to our stomachs, like if you watch the videos of the little children being ripped from their mothers because of this fascist fuckers and this goddamn goblin who's the attorney general. So those videos had a tendency to leave people with a feeling they wanted to throw up or a bad taste in their mouths or sick to our stomachs, lightheaded, maybe even wanting to destroy something. Then help build up a visceral steam head of steam that can be needed to right a deep moral wrong. In other words, if we didn't have the insula and we saw children being ripped from their parents, we might be like Trump and just say, well, if these spicks don't want their kids taken from them, take out the word spick, quick. Don't come here! But the versatility of the insula, it says here, this is interesting, carries a danger, and that is the temptation to use moral disgust as a litmus test. How do you decide if the way someone eats or prays or loves is wrong? How do you make that decision? Just ask whether it makes you feel disgusted. If it makes you want to puke, then you must rebuke the person. I don't like queers marrying each other. I don't like Muslims. I don't like Jews. The problem, of course, is that moral disgust is a moving target, right? And one person's moral disgust is another's normal, loving lifestyle. Moreover, and this is where it starts to get interesting, visceral disgust is a great stepping stone for more abstract disgust. Once you decide that something eats disgusting things, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to deciding they think and feel disgusting things as well. In other words, they are not quite human. We all differ as to the working of the insula, it says here. And this helps explain more than just why only some people would think the milk tastes a little bit off. As a fascinating finding, social conservatives tend toward lower thresholds for disgust than liberals. Why, of course. Because social conservatives, neo-fascists, full-blown Nazis, white supremacists, the crazy fuckers that are loose in this country right now, everything disgusts them because they are afraid of everything. Fear. Conservatives are more likely to be unsettled by wearing somebody else's clean clothes or sitting on a chair still warm from somebody who previously sat there. You know, their ass, they get up and, you know, your ass is very warm, leaves a warm spot. Conservative sits down and goes, oh, fuck. Show conservatives a disgusting picture, like a wound teeming with maggots. That's pretty disgusting. And their autonomic nervous system tends to lurch more than a liberal's would. More importantly, you can manipulate people's moral judgments by exploiting the insula. Prime suspects to think of the United States as a living entity. Discuss, for instance, how the United States underwent a growth spurt after the Civil War, and then have them read about scary new infectious diseases, and they express more negative views about immigrants. This is a science. You do understand this. What is being done with Trump's tweets and the Nazi Jew Stephen Miller's whispering in Trump's ear, Stephen Miller, special advisor to the president, and all these evil fuckers around him that are putting this shit into his head in a coherent way, because Trump is incoherent. They're not giving him thoughts. He has the thoughts, but he can't organize shit. And then he tweets it out to his millions of hardcore followers. When the Nazis urged on their populace toward the final solution, their propaganda was of Jews as rats and the Holocaust as extermination of these disgusting vermin in Germany's basement. For contemporary Europeans, white supremacists, it's the image of Islam as a malignancy. For Southern slave owners, it was Africans as subhumans. And when the Hutus of Rwanda, remember that, triggered the genocide in 1994 that killed 75% of the Tutsi tribe in less than 3 months, the propaganda endlessly shrieked about the Tutsis as cockroaches. You see where I'm going with this, or where the authors of the speech are going? Every effective genocidal propagandist intuitively knows about the insula. Get things to the point where invoking them, immigrants, activates the insula in your followers, and you'll have people goose-stepping in no time. Seaguile. Thus, Trump's tweets prompt not just neurobiological musings, but an historical one as well. He may not intend to create an association between immigrants and disgust, but psychologically, his rhetoric does not inspire compassion or unity. Surprise, surprise. So, folks, be very alarmed when a leader tries to make you think of other humans as vermin. It's enough to make you sick to your stomach. I'll leave you with that tonight, Truth Seekers. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.